At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing the J.D. Greer Unmasked documentary, which exposes a wolf in wolf's clothing. That is J.D. Greer of Summit Church, who was formerly the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination in the United States. J.D. Greer has wielded considerable influence over widespread evangelicalism over the last 10 years, and he has been an absolute monster ravaging the church. And this has shown up even on a local church level, which is what this documentary exposes, is he attempted a hostile takeover of Faith Baptist Church in North Carolina and the underhanded tactics, how he helped coordinate the destruction of a church and how ultimately the members of that church saved the church from its bad leadership. And the front man for that is a man named Jason Little. And ultimately a merger attempt by the Summit Church led by J.D. Greer, who would go in fight mode to acquire a large multi-million dollar property in order to expand his local, or not his local church, but his mega church empire, and get another franchise, a premium franchise location in Knightdale, North Carolina. So this is a very interesting documentary. And then J.D. Greer has since responded. The Summit Church has responded to the documentary. So you'll love to see that. This documentary has gotten like hundreds of thousands of views at this point. So you love the traction that it's getting. This has been great so far. And the documentary itself is really good. It tells a very heartwarming story about church hurt and ultimately perseverance. So I'm going to show 2 clips from the 3-part documentary, and I'm going to talk about the Summit Church's response. But first, a word from our sponsor. Hey friends, Ray Fava here from Evangelical Dark Web. It is my belief that right now we need more Christian patrons. Let me ask you something. Do you have a vision for your family, your business, your community? Do you dream of building something lasting, something that glorifies God and blesses generations to come? Are you ready to become a new Christian elite? Then you need to talk to my friends at First Liberty Building and Loan. For over 30 years, First Liberty has said yes when big banks say no. They've been the bridge between visionary entrepreneurs and the capital they need to build, buy, and grow. They don't just talk about community. They are the community, grounded in Noonan, Georgia, and serving business owners across the country. Their team is deeply involved in church leadership, local government, and civic life. And they're not afraid to say it. They honor God in all they do. And that's not just marketing. It's the foundation of their business. If you're a Christian entrepreneur who wants to build multi-generational wealth, make a cultural impact, and leave a legacy, First Liberty wants to help you do it. So grab the ox goad, light the torches. It's time to build your kingdom for God's glory and your children's future. Visit FirstLibertyGA.com to learn more and apply today. That's FirstLibertyGA.com. So just a statement, you know, this church was saved because some of the members were, you know, those local new Christian elites. Like, they fought for their church. They had the resources to get lawyers to help fight for their church. And what we're going to talk about a lot is the legal proceedings in this video. So this is the first part. And what we're talking about here, episode 1 largely focuses on a hostile takeover, how this guy named Jason Little was appointed pastor of the church and how he mismanaged his church. He ended a bunch of programs. He got rid of a bunch of their assets and stuff, and people left. So he, you know, the membership is declining, the funds are declining, and now they're trying to present the situation as worse than it actually was and as more unsolvable than it actually was. So this clip is very interesting. To me, it was my favorite clip from episode one. So we're going to dive into this one.
Those numbers are wrong.
Yes, we never made our projected budgets, but we never spent over our budget.
The numbers I just gave you, our savings account will not last beyond 6 months.
So when it came time for my opportunity to ask questions, I challenged it. I also asked, well, do we have a revenue or an expense problem?
An expense issue or a revenue issue? It's both. But I point you back to going back to history through 2016 where the same conditions existed. The truth of it is, as you can see from the 2016 through the current numbers that I've shown you, we've not been in a healthy position for years.
It hit me then. This is a knob that they're pulling. And Bill's like, yeah, they planned this all along.
So why don't we talk about that?
So like I said, they're running this church into the ground. And it's a very intentional effort on the part of this church's leadership to run it into the ground so they can use the disillusion to give their assets to the Summit Church and J.D. Greer's multi-mega church franchise empire. That's what's going on here. They're running a church into the ground so that Summit can acquire the assets. And this becomes a very huge point because there's eventually a vote on it, which we'll talk about more when we get to Summit's perspective.
We didn't understand it until that date. This whole thing was a conspiracy to commit constructive fraud. Now, that's my opinion. I'm not a lawyer, but I believe that that's what it was. You're in a budget meeting for the corporation, and you've got the chief executive officer, Jason Little. You've got the treasurer, the CFO, Lynn Gay. John Wallace is presenting, in my opinion, erroneous numbers of losses over 8 years, adding up to $1.2 million. All the leadership was present in the meeting. They sat silent while that was presented to the investors of the corporation to get a certain outcome to happen.
Our passion has to be the kingdom of God over the castle of the local church. You are the church. We are the church, not the building. It's really not about buildings and budgets.
I couldn't sit by and not do anything. To me, it was an op. It's where I work. I always look for that stuff.
So another point to bring up is the fact that they retroactively changed the numbers of previous years to inflate the losses. And that is a serious red flag. So when they're talking about erroneous numbers, that's what they're talking about.
After they presented everything, I went forward.
Brian Alper.
Brian. This part's a banger.
Respectfully, as the leadership team looked at removing him as pastor,
I said, has the leadership considered getting rid of Jason Little to save money?
I know from personal talking to you, he doesn't have to make people happy. So you know what happens? When people leave the church, they take their money with them. And that's really what we're down to.
And I continued on my little rant.
It's actually come to my attention recently that sounds like you're talking with Summit about maybe selling all the property.
And Jason's eyes get real big, and they definitely didn't want anybody to know that.
They didn't deny it at the time.
You have a question about the budget?
Yeah.
Can you
I think we can save
ask you one question first?
Yeah.
Are you recording me on that phone?
Absolutely.
Did I give you permission?
You don't have to in this state. It's one person. I'm the person.
Can you let everyone know what you just said? Can let everyone know what you just said?
And I think other people would probably say, yeah, it's good I'm recording it. Okay? Keep it on. Absolutely, it's ethical.
Do you have any questions?
Okay. My question is, has the leadership looked at saving money by getting rid of Jason?
No, we have not.
Okay. That's my question.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion, actually, to get rid of him.
Nothing.
So that is just a banger scene from the documentary where he just makes a motion to remove the, you know, the villainous pastor Jason Little. And, you know, he fought for his church all along the way. And this is in, I believe it's in late December of 2023. So this is a whole year and a half before, you know, the documentary comes out. They're, you know, getting their receipts in order. They're getting, you know, they would eventually file a lawsuit, and that lawsuit would be about the eventual vote to merge with the Summit Church. Now, this vote was very shady, and that's what the second part of the documentary series talks about, how shady this vote was. They've removed members. They had active members who were really not eligible to vote, so they had some people on the rolls that should not have been on the rolls, and they had people off the rolls that had no business being off the rolls because they were genuinely active members of the church. They went to the services, and they were never contacted about potential inactivity, and that was a deliberate decision. So this would win them a temporary restraining order on the vote that took place. And the vote that took place, what's interesting is there's a dispute about the interpretation of that vote. The Summit Church and the leadership here, they view this church, they view the vote as, hey, we voted to merge and we got majority approval on this. However, this was a vote to dissolve the FBC, Faith Baptist Church, as an entity. And that required a higher threshold that was not met. They got about 63% of the vote when they needed 66. They needed 2/3. So that's kind of the in-between for what we're about to get to. So when they're unable to get the vote that they want, because the vote hasn't counted because they cooked the membership rolls, they basically shutter the operations of the church, so where the members have to do a church in exile. Like, they're operating the church on the church property, but not inside the church building because they weren't allowed to. So they basically operated they ran the church in exile of the church leadership. And while they fought this battle in court, again, very intricate story here. And they're winning in court all this time. They got a preliminary injunction, which was a good indicator that they were going to win this case. And so they bust out plan B, which is to declare bankruptcy. They didn't say they were going bankrupt. They just declared it, even though they never took any mitigating steps on the way to bankruptcy. So then they have to go to bankruptcy court, and they're fighting the bankruptcy as well. And that's where this story picks up, because the depositions start flying and the members or the leadership of this church is getting deposed. And now there's a fight to depose the Summit Church and get J.D. Greer on the stand or under oath and get him to testify about his involvement in this. Really, it's a scandal. So this is the second clip that I want to share.
Church from part three. Facilitated, we maintain, a path into this courtroom, a path into this public courtroom, for Summit to now maintain that Pastor J.D. Greer, the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, that he will be unduly embarrassed by having the items that we filed with the court disclosed to the public, or his deposition transcript made available. Not only it implicates First Amendment concerns, it's a risk that Summit assumed when it, as we've shown, steered this into your court after Pastor Greer was not satisfied with the outcome of the state court litigation. And his church injected $170,000 of capital into Faith Baptist Church on May 10th. Those gifts have gone into this proceeding primarily, unfortunately. I mean, hey, we...
So another thing to point out is that $170,000 was given from Summit Church to Faith Baptist Church, mostly to fight these lawsuits. So that is something that's critical to point out, and Summit does not dispute it. They dispute the purpose of it, but they don't dispute the material dollar amount was given to this church. And again, the answer is why? Because they were trying to get the assets, which they appraised at like $25 million in the documentary. $25 million asset.
We completely deny everything that respected counsel just argued.
the judge ruled against Summit.
I'm going to shine all the light I can on this case, and so I'm not going to enter a protective order. Summit has been involved since day one. They're in the middle of it. They've got the tar baby, so they're in it. And so there's nothing I'm going to do to limit that whatsoever. I'm going to wish you good luck on your depositions. If they don't occur next week, then I'm going to be needing some real good answers as to why parties shouldn't be sanctioned for that.
Thursday at 10 a.m., J.D. Greer was scheduled to be deposed. Bill spoke up and he said, you know what? They either agree to our last offer within 24 hours or J.D. Greer is going to get deposed at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
And so what questions do you have? Amy will be glad to answer them all.
It's going to be a little bit unfiltered, and it's not scripted. I'm not sure what's going to come out here.
you set them up for failure.
Look in the camera. All right.
That's
when they said, okay, we're done.
Because J.D. Greer didn't want to get deposed.
They decided, we don't want to do this anymore. They walked away before J.D. had to get on the camera.
Before that big player had to get exposed in front of a camera, they wanted to wash their hands of it.
I don't know if J.D. Greer called them or told them, hey, it's over. I'm not going to sit for a deposition. We're all done. Give them the church back. Who knows what we would have found out? Yeah. But ultimately, at that point, we had our church back.
I came over here last.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So that is very fascinating that in this story, Summit was calling the shots. Because at the end of the day, they were a third party. They're not being sued, but they are an interested third party. And they don't get to call the shots on these negotiated settlements. It is, the church leadership that got to call the shots, but clearly, formally speaking, but clearly J.D. Greer was calling the shots. He said, I'm not getting deposed. And so it's over. I'm pulling the plug on this lawsuit, and that's what happened. They folded the towel. J.D. Greer fled the battlefield like he's Cleopatra, which would make Jason Little the Mark Antony in this homoerotic metaphor because, they're both, weak on the issue, or at least J.D. Greer is very weak on homosexuality. So very fitting to use this analogy on him, that he fled like a coward, like Cleopatra did, and that is, it's bittersweet. It is very bittersweet that J.D. Greer was not able to get deposed, but, so that's the bitter part, but the sweet part is they won. They, Jason Little surrendered, and J.D. Greer fled the battlefield, and then Jason Little surrendered, so they got their church back, and it sounds like from the rest of the documentary, they got back to the previous numbers from before Jason Little's tenure there. So they got the church back and they got it humming again. At least by the time the documentary was filmed, they got it humming again. So it's a beautiful story, but there's two sides to every story, and the Summit has their response. Dear Summit family, as some of you may have seen, our pastor and our church are the subject of a recent documentary series about our attempted church merger with Faith Baptist Church in Knotdale. We received no advance notification about this documentary, nor were we consulted about issues discussed within it. We saw this for the first time when the episodes were shared with the public. So let me just weigh in on this. I do not blame them. If they gave them no advance notice of this documentary, I do not blame them. Because J.D. Greer is litigious behind the scenes about trying to suppress criticism of his disastrous ministry. He is very litigious. He does pull the strings. He does get into fight mode. I'm not going to name names or personal examples that I have to back up this, but it is true. This is who J.D. Greer is, and I think the people who made this documentary know that, so they did not get their side of the story. And if J.D. Greer wanted his side of the story to be known, he should have been deposed. So I have no problem if that's true. I don't, again, not 100% sure that they didn't say, hey, do you want to comment on this documentary that we're about to publish? They probably might, they might have done that, but I would not blame them if they did not, because of J.D. Greer's reputation that these people would have been aware of for his petty actions behind the scene. He continues, story being told misrepresents the events as well as our intentions in this process. The summit sought to pursue this path with the utmost integrity at every step. As your directional elders, that's a very interesting distinction between regular elders, but they apparently have two different types of elders, directional and campus elders. It's really stupid. It sounds unbiblical because it is, because, you know, they're running a church closer to McDonald's, and part of the McDonald's model of running a church means that you recognize you are a real estate company, which is why they wanted this $25 million property for pennies on the dollar. So J.D. Greer knows the game, and it's real estate. So our responsibility is to provide leadership and accountability for our church, and over the last few weeks, we have made ourselves available to answer any questions. We have not spoken publicly about this yet. However, as we believed that it would be wise to refrain from responding in any public way until all parts were released. So they released this very recently because part three was just released on Wednesday of last week. And I've finally gotten the chance to watch it all. Watched it all with my wife. Fun movie night, because we don't really watch a whole lot of movies. But I put this on, and, you know, good time with the family, with the wife, I guess. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. In January of 2024, the leadership of Faith Baptist expressed a clear desire to move forward with the process. And on February 19th, 2024, our directional elders elected to pursue it as well. As we mentioned, this would mean FBC dissolving their church by a congregational vote and its members joining the Summit Church, something both sides were very aware of. FBC leadership called for a congregational vote, and on March 3rd, 2024, FBC voted 97 to 55 in favor of dissolving their church and giving their property to the Summit Church, more than meeting the required 50% threshold required by FBC Constitution. So again, that's a bit of a disputed fact, because this is about dissolving their church, which according to the documentary required a 2/3 vote. But they got this entire vote invalidated by the court because they had a restraining order on it. So that was one of the huge wins. The FBC bylaws provide clear guidelines on who should be considered an active member, and FBC leaders worked with their church's legal counsel to ensure those guidelines were met prior to the member vote. However, some individuals in the church filed legal action in state court to try to stop FBC from proceeding with the vote. Now, let's comment on the use of suing in church disputes. This is valid in this case because the church leadership, Jason Little, already brought the state involved by threatening people with arrest if they showed up to the meeting attempting to vote and were deemed inactive members. So he already brought the state to enforce anti-trespassing laws against dissident members. So he brought the state in. They just continued using the state and fought for their church and won, because evidently they were dealing with wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's, again, it's not pretty, but it had to be done. On May 2nd, Wait, so here we go. It is important to note that this lawsuit was brought against Faith Baptist Church by some of its members and other interested parties, not against the Summit Church, because the Summit Church was not a party to the legal proceedings. FBC leadership was unanimous in their belief that they had acted in strict accordance with their bylaws and the state guidelines of NC. A state court judge issued a preliminary injunction, however, which temporarily halted the dissolution proceedings until the lawsuit was resolved. During this time, FBC was quickly running out of money and requested assistance from Summit to help them with their financial obligations. On May 2nd, 2024, we approved a grant of $170,000 to help FBC pay accrued and anticipated operating costs, salaries, and severance. So, again, FBC funded the lawsuit, and the Summit Church reiterated our willingness to purchase the property if given the opportunity, as well as to satisfy the financial claims that were part of FBC's bankruptcy proceeding. So, again, they're trying to get these assets for $170,000, and maybe a little bit more after that, but still, that is cheap. As part of the bankruptcy proceedings, the group that filed the state lawsuit requested from the Summit Church documents between our church and FBC leadership. We voluntarily produced these documents with the agreement that these documents would not be disclosed on the internet because we had concerns about the statements being lifted out of context and misrepresented in the public. This motion failed, by the way. And then it continues to say, basically, they're arguing that as we proceeded with these requests, we grew concerned that these actions were no longer solely about disrupting the legitimacy of the vote, but potentially part of a larger smear campaign against our church and our pastor. So they're saying, hey, this is not really about the vote. It's not really about the church. And yes, it is about the church. And J.D. Greer is the big bad villain of this story, not Jason Little. So, this is where they quit. During this process, it became clear to our directional elders, staff leadership, and FBC leaders that these legal procedures could continue for years. Even though we had nothing to hide and it was clear that dissolving and uniting with the Summit Church was a desire of the majority of FBC members as expressed by a congregational vote, we determined that continuing with the extensive legal battles was not a wise use of our time and money. The point for us had never been acquiring property, but reaching the people in Knightdale. By this point, the property had become a distraction to that mission. We were also mindful of the Apostle Paul's admonition that sometimes it is better to suffer wrong than to put on a spectacle for the world. We had not entered Knightdale looking for property when Faith Baptist Church approached us with the idea of joining with us. We had been eager to consider it, but now the property was an obstacle to the mission of reaching people. So they're trying to pious signal. But at the end of the day, they're claiming that this is not about the property. And then they go on to say that many of the FBC members have become part of our Summit family and they worship and serve at our Knightdale campus. We are grateful that they are part of our family and movement. So, you know, it's not about acquiring the church property. It's about acquiring the church people, which honestly is not that much better that they're trying to poach a church's members like that. It's not like they don't have more members of their own. I don't know exactly how large they are, but this is embarrassing by J.D. Greer. He lost. He's responded. And his response has been weighed, measured, and found wanting. Because at the end of the day, the facts are on the side of this church that fought to save their congregation. It's a beautiful story. And the receipts are there. J.D. Greer wanted this property. He couldn't get it. He was like Ahab, maybe he was the Jezebel in the story. And Jason Little was the Ahab. You know, if we want to continue making sycophantic analogies here. And the good news is, you know, Jason Little's no longer preaching at a church. So that's good. But J.D. Greer's still on the run. He's fled the battlefield. But we got to make, we got to mark him with this, that his hostile takeover attempt at a church failed. And we got to mark him with that and keep pounding his reputation with that. Mark and avoid J.D. Greer. He is a false teacher. And that's all I got to say about that for now. My name is Ray, this is Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do also subscribe to the channel as a podcast if you are new. We have a free Patreon-like system that you can support us. And we also have a free newsletter. But until then, stay based, Crisis King, and we will catch you on the next one.